Welcome, everyone, to the Resilient Nurse Podcast, where we discuss the tools and practices nurses, faculty, students, and new nurses are using to renew and amplify their resilience. This podcast is a special series within the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing's On the Pulse podcast. In each episode, we cover the complexities, the misconceptions, and often the new pathways toward keeping our nursing workforce resilient throughout Maryland and beyond. Our podcast comes out of the R3 initiative, which stands for Renewal, Retention, and Resilience in Maryland Nurses. I'm your host, Nancy Reller, and today my guest is Allie Luce, a second semester Johns Hopkins School of Nursing student. Hi, Allie. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So I understand that you're not sort of the typical student who goes from school, you know, undergraduate to being a nursing student. Tell us your journey before you became a nursing student.
Sure. So my background is I have my undergrad degree from Towson. I got that in health science. Before I transferred to Towson, I spent the first 2 years of college at Stony Brook University in Long Island. There, I was a Division I athlete and I played soccer. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I was injured and I couldn't maintain the peak fitness anymore without harming my body long term. So I decided to transfer back home. I still didn't know what I wanted to do in healthcare. I had this general degree and I could see myself going multiple avenues. I contemplated medical school even. Physical therapy even, because I worked there for a little bit. So what I really decided to do, I'd figure out what I would like, is just by going out and getting more patient care experience. So then I became a medical assistant, first for orthopedics and pain management. And then I found an opening at a dermatology office. Those experiences really made me realize I loved talking to patients and just being the one that they felt comfortable, like trusting. And then I realized, well, who spends the most time with patients is the nurses. And there's so many different avenues in nursing, and it's not just one particular job. So I thought this would be the best.
Nice. I'd love to know your impression. When you think about your nursing cohort, how would you describe their challenges in nursing school? What are you seeing?
I think since it's an accelerated program, it's completely different from undergrad, and especially those, it's been some time since we've been in the classroom. So I would say first, just getting used to being back to school is like one of the main challenges. But first semester, that helps us like get back in the groove. Mm-hmm. But since this is such an accelerated program and every class is very demanding, we use something called the flipped classroom where we have to watch the lecture before we come to class. This was a new concept. So you have to find time to make sure you're prepared for the lecture, because if you're not prepared for the lecture, you show up and you're lost. Time management's like the big challenge, I would say.
Yeah. So how do you see people managing, in particular, the time management challenge?
First semester, I feel like it was definitely a learning curve. It clicks differently for everybody, but then it realizes for everyone it's really beneficial. You just got to plan out your week. Most of us are really good with now, especially second semester, because we're getting in the hang of things. But I know a lot of people have a calendar or a whiteboard and they write down, okay, this day is dedicated to watching this class. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about just giving yourself more time instead of cutting it close towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Managing time is a real challenge for particularly first and second semester students. Hopefully you've used or learned some resilience tools along the way. And I want to talk about one in particular that I'm really interested in hearing from you about. I understand you completed the incivility simulation that the R3 initiative developed, that our listeners can find on the website, which I'll tell you about in a bit. Describe what the setting was. What class was it that this was in? And tell us what happened.
Sure. So the platform of how we had this was, so once a semester, we have a simulation lab where we go in all day to the school nursing instead of our clinical sites. And we had different stations, usually with like myth mannequins, for example, so we can practice our skills. The one station was part of the R3 grant was the incivility, where it showed us a very, very realistic situation where it's two new grad students and one new grad hears the two senior nurses talking negatively about his friend, saying how She's not doing as great as they thought. She's slow, inconveniencing them, how she's not learning quick enough. Mm-hmm. And he overhears this and he is contemplating what he should do, mm-hmm. whether he should remain silent because it's intimidating. He's the new man and he thinks he's doing well because his preceptors told him nothing but good praises. So he's like, I don't want to maybe anger them. Or he's thinking maybe they're being phony to me. And should I stand up for my friend because this isn't right? Should I go speak with her now and call her out now? Should I take some time and reflect? So that was like the whole simulation of that is you pick the scenario, be like, this is what happened when he went up to the nurse right away. This is what happened if he said nothing. This would happen if he took time to reflect and then went up to her. So I think it was a very helpful experience because as a new grad, one of our fears, worries is we're the new person and we're here to learn. We have the skills, but of course we don't have the time as the senior nurses. And we just want to learn from you guys and be helpful as we can. And we don't want to feel like a burden. We fear that people will look down on us and see us not as an equal, but as someone less or inferior. And we don't want to come across that, but it's very likely it might. And this simulation, I thought was very helpful. And I'm happy that they addressed that everything is not peachy and rosy and everything like that. There's going to be times where there's some conflict and this is how you can handle it in the best professional way as possible and not letting it get to you.
Allie, tell us, what is the hardest part about sticking up for yourself if you were in a situation like this, where you felt like you really, your values and your ability or your status, if you will, are in conflict with each other? What's the hardest part about speaking up?
So for me, the hardest part, I'm a very loyal person. So if I hear someone talking bad about my friend, my biggest conflict right away would be, do I inform my friend that I heard this? Will that get in their head and will they lose all their self-confidence when they're thinking they're doing okay? Would I hear what they're saying and then I would look after my friend and maybe just use that as coaching points and maybe indirectly try to help her with stuff so that they don't notice? And then this is what the simulation addressed. I wouldn't know what would be the proper time to go because I wouldn't want to go right away because I wouldn't want that person to still be emotional and risk myself included being emotional. Or if I go too late, is the situation already over? And right. So finding that proper time. But I would say the main thing is, do I tell the person or not?
So there's something about being able to speak up and represent your point of view that matters, is what I'm hearing.
I definitely think speaking up is important because you have to be able to defend yourself and your friends. We speak up for our patients all the time because some people, they don't have a voice, and that's our job to be their voice. Then I would also have in the back of my mind, okay, if this doesn't work out, who's the next person I go to?
Mm-hmm. So how do you imagine you'll use the learning that you gained from this R3 simulation?
I will definitely learn that. Take some time, reflect on it. I would use this in the future by even if it, I am the lowest man on the totem pole and I'm a new grad, I still should have the confidence to go up and talk to them because we are all equal on the same team. And we need to have a voice because if we don't have a voice, it'll just keep happening and we'll keep being treated as less and not equals.
And that then leads to burnout. So learning these practices and tools are very practical. I mean, they're very applicable to everyday life and life as a nurse and a nursing student. This is really helpful. And I loved what you said about the calmness and the knowing what your game plan is going into a conversation like that and finding the right time, all really good things to think about and remember. I'm curious, Allie, you've had really good experience in the classroom and in practical settings. What is it that grounds you? We talk a lot in the R3 initiative. Many of the modules are about the importance of being grounded and the importance of knowing what our values are and how we stay true to those when challenges arise. So I'm curious, would you share with us what grounds you?
So it really does, if I'm having a difficult patient or a difficult situation in any part of life, it makes me realize why I'm doing this. I worked in pain management, and I had a patient where she couldn't drive. It was hard for her to fill out paperwork where she really couldn't do it. And then I realized she couldn't read or write because she was really struggling with the paperwork. So what I told the front desk is every time she came in for her monthly appointment, just tell her that she's here in the front desk. They can page me. So I immediately got her and brought her back. And I was like, you know what, new policy, I'm going to do the paperwork with you. Mm. And we made it a conversation where I would talk to her normally, and then I'd fill out the answers. And she really appreciated that. And she goes, no one's ever done that before. And I was like, it's no problem. Everyone should deserve the same health care. We know the questions specifically and the answers. This will help you come in, and we'll know why exactly you're here. And she really appreciates, she told me that I was one of the first people in a doctor's office to not make her feel less of herself. I really appreciated it. And then she had our office phone number. And when she had other questions regarding another doctor's office, she would call me and ask me to explain things to her.
Yeah. So this is really an important way to look at values. Tell me what mattered to you about helping this patient.
What mattered, because if I saw this as my mother or family member, one of the reasons I got into healthcare is because my mother, she has MS. So I help her all the time anyway, from a young age. And then I thought if that was her, no one was going to help her. And that's our job, to help people in healthcare. I couldn't imagine my mom trying to go through these appointments, not knowing anything and no one helping her. That gave me that perspective where I kind of want to be that way with my patients in the future. Like, that's my core value, is I don't want these patients to feel like a number. Mm. I want them to feel like they matter. That's why I always know their name. I try to learn something small about them. So when I go into the room, I don't just say, hey, sir, I know they're at the hospital and this is not a great time in their life, but let me try and make it as best as I can.
You know, what I hear from you, Allie, is that respect and compassion are really core values for you.
Respect, compassion, and just treat everybody equal we're all human, and no one's better than anyone else.
That's terrific. Thank you for sharing that. I think these are the stories of resilience and integrity that matter to us in this initiative, and certainly would make the world a better place if we could all get in touch with this and stay true to our values. So I know that you're aware that there are some almost 30 modules on the R3 website. And I'm wondering, how do you see your fellow students utilizing these tools and practices? What's the advantage?
The main thing I think, which is great, is all the resources are just right there for you. So we can make the excuse like, oh, I need some self-managed like techniques and everything like that, but I don't know where to start. And then we tend to put like self-care last and all of our work ahead of us. So the fact that a big part of the beginning phase of self-care is just research is already done, and there's all these wonderful resources there. And the only thing that's left for us to do is trial and error and see what works for us and see what doesn't. And we are definitely more inclined to do that, since the majority of the time of finding these resources is done. They're already there. All we got to do is just play around and see and be open-minded and see what works best for us. And then professors are really, especially second semester, they're doing a great job with opening each lecture by asking, what did you do for yourself this week? Oh, as a reminder, here's like some techniques that you can do to relax and take a breather, take a pause, do something for yourself, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of your patients. So, and I love the fact this is available for faculty as well, because they are just as important and stressed out as students. They got their jobs. Some of them are going back to school. They got families.
Right. A lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. So the attention to ourselves is important. I always love to ask guests, what's one resilience tool or practice that helps you stay resilient? And I know that Dr. Krisha Hudson did something with you in class. I'd love for you to tell us about that.
Oh, the box breathing. We love the box breathing. It's so it's so easy, and it works. Like, she would do it before class every time and dim the lights, and it was just peaceful. And we were like, all right, It's 8 a.m. and we're ready to get to class after this.
Clears your mind, right? Just letting your brain relax. Tell me, as we close up here, what is inspiring to you about being in nursing school?
First off, when I got my letter to come to Johns Hopkins, that just made me feel so proud to be a part of this school and community. Growing up in Maryland, it's one of the major leaders of medicine. So I have my acceptance letter taped to the back of my door, because every day I leave the room, I look at the letter and it reminds me why I'm doing this.
Very nice.
Reminds me how I felt on that day when I got that letter. So no matter how challenging something may be, this is something I wanted. I'm here for a reason.
Wow. I love that. Oh my goodness. Why? That's your why.
That's
right?
My why. And it reminds me, even if it's like some days, like you can get in your head and it's so stressful. It's like, why did I do this to myself? I look at the letter and I'm like, because that's why. That moment I felt when I got the letter, I was like shocked and couldn't believe it. I was like, no, I felt like I was on top of the world. So then that's my why. And I have it posted on my door. Every time I see it, I'm like, that's the why. And we're going to do it today.
Oh, I love that. I really do. I just think it sounds like it recharges you, and that is fabulous. And what excites you about becoming a nurse?
I love the fact, like, I have a little countdown on my phone to when we graduate, not because, you know, I want school to be done. It shows how in short amount of time we're going to be part of the healthcare team treating patients. I can't believe how fast it's been going, and I'm excited to quickly dive in and be able to be such an important role in the patient's healthcare. And then I like the fact that all the avenues you can take, and especially furthering education, I definitely want to be able to further my education in the future. One of my passions and specialties, I love being a part of the surgical team. It's really fun. I really liked doing that in the dermatology office. And there's different roles a nurse can do in the OR. They can be an OR nurse. You can get your first assist license and help with the surgery. Or you could go get your doctorate and be a CRNA, which I think that's my ultimate goal. Mm. But I'm excited to be a part of patient care and be a part of a surgical team at some point and make a difference in people's lives.
Wow. Well, we are excited about having you out in the nursing profession, sort of officially, with a wonderful Johns Hopkins University School of Nursing plaque that you can look at every morning when you leave to go to whatever job you go to. But Allie, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a wonderful experience having you here, and good luck with the rest of your school.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
The R3 website hosts over 30 resilience tools and practices for faculty, students, and new nurses throughout Maryland. Also found on the website are really beautifully designed and easy to use free social media graphics that are available for personal and or professional distribution throughout Maryland. The R3 website address is nursing.jhu.edu/R3. We hope you'll join us next time for the Resilient Nurse Podcast. Funding for R3 comes from the Nurse Support Program 2 grant, administered by the Maryland Higher Education Commission, and is funded through the Health Services Cost Review Commission.